Hello, this is Kayleen Welsh, and you are listening to Conversations on WDRT. And I'm really pleased that you've joined us today. My guest here in the studio is Pete Beckstrand. And Pete, I've known for a while. I mean, we ended up being neighbors, you know, at one point in our lives. And Pete is a retired Lutheran pastor, someone I've known to be involved in the community for a very long time. And today we're here to talk about Bethel Boutique, which is one of my favorite places in the whole wide world. And Pete, tell me a little bit about your relationship with Bethel Boutique, or say hello to everybody. What do you want to say?
Sure. I've been involved in Bethel Boutique probably since about 2010, I'm going to say. Of course, it was started by Pastor Gary Danes, who was at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Westby.
Do you think he knew what he was creating at the time?
No.
Because it's taken on a life of its own, it seems like.
Right, yeah. It started as a food pantry in the closet at the church and just kept growing and growing. And
now is Food Pantry Plus.
Yes.
And we've got a really lovely thrift store.
Yep.
I know that there's a lot of different services that are available, and so...
Yeah, it's turned into a place where, like you said, there's a food pantry. A thrift store is open every day, and also, I think, the first Saturday of the month. And we take the proceeds from the thrift store along with our donations, and we also give grants to people for, you know, mostly it's been rent assistance and utility bills. Mm. That's probably 70 to 75% of what we do there. We have a maximum amount. I mean, it's limited to what we can do for each person. You know, it's our family. We give at the most $300 the first time they apply for assistance. And
are there requirements for that?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. They have to fill out an application, and then on Monday morning, there's four of us on a committee, the mission committee of Bethel Boutique, that go over that those applications and approve them or otherwise. There are things that we won't pay for.
Can you speak to what really is the goal with that? Helping people through short-term issue with housing or rent or car repair or what kinds of things?
Yeah. It's been, Pastor Gary always said that people in Vernon County, and we serve also North Crawford County and parts of Monroe, Ontario and Caxton and so forth.
It's a pretty big area.
Yeah. He's always said it's basically people are very hardworking people, and what Bethel Boutique has tried to do is help the working poor. Mm-hmm. People who are going paycheck to paycheck, and then a lot of times something happens. You have an unexpected major health crisis. People miss work. The car motor blows up or something like that, and you've got a big bill to pay and, you know, not enough money to meet it. So that's usually the case with the people that we help.
And the sales from the thrift store then helped support that.
Right. The thrift store sales all go into that. And it's not enough to cover the whole cost. We get some very, very amazing donations during the year. We have some wonderful people that donate every single month and have done so for years. Mm-hmm. Wonderful donors. And so that, I guess, is another probably 40 to 50% of what we go through in a year.
Well, it sounds like in many ways it's a community effort then to offer support to the community also. And one of the reasons that I wanted to talk about Bethel Boutique today is because this show is scheduled to air on December 26th, which is Boxer Day, Boxing Day. I guess it's a custom that really started, I think, more in the UK, England, and Ireland, but which was really all about, like, after this big festivity of Christmas that we're, you know, coming out of, that we now have this surplus. And it was often a day then where people would start, would really round up their extra and share their surplus. And that feels like so much that's what happens at Bethel Boutique. I love the thrift store. It's been one of my favorite places for a very long time, because I don't know whether it's just magical or whether it's just me, but it feels like if there's something that I need, I'll never forget. We were planning for one of a relative's wedding, and there was this goofy plan to do some kind of a hula dance. And it was, so it was a search for hula skirts, you know, just last minute thing. And so I show up at Bethel Boutique, and there's a bag of six of them, grass skirts complete with lays to match. Yeah. And so just different stories like that. But
never know what you're going to find there.
No, I would imagine. I would imagine you've had some really strange donations, or just I'm always even amazed at the volume of stuff that you go through.
We have a large shed there that is clear full every week.
Yeah, I was just there last week dropping stuff off as I was moving, and that shed was full.
Yeah, and our volunteers, you know, work hard to sort through it. And, you know, some stuff needs cleaning. Some stuff, truthfully, just needs to be tossed. Some stuff, you know, they all has to be sorted through. And decided if it's going to the men's room, the women's room, the children's room, teenagers, all of that kind of thing. So there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Well, look, we should probably come back to talking about some of that stuff. At the same time, we probably should let people know really where Bethel Boutique is. We haven't even really said.
Yeah. It's on the north side of Westby, on Black River Avenue. You've got Right Choice Carpenter there on the corner, and then there's the Veterans Memorial, and then there's the Northland Nursing Home, and there's a church there also. And then what used to be, it was Bethel Home originally built that building as a group home, and it served as a group home for a number of years. I think it closed in 1998. And in 99, Pastor Danes, I think, went to Bethel Home and said, can we work out a deal here? Because he had outgrown his closet with the food pantry at Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thought that would be a great place to grow into. And then the thrift store came out of that as well.
So probably opened about 2000 or somewhere?
No, it opened in 99, because we just celebrated our 25th anniversary, I think it was. And this last summer, and it had several, because it was a group home, it was equipped with several apartments in that one wing. And so I know Pastor Danes, for a while, he actually had a homeless shelter in there as well, and had several people that stayed in those rooms. That was an experiment that didn't, I guess you'd say, didn't pan out. Pastor Danes found that one of the people that stayed there ended up calling the ambulance several times, and the ambulance was billing Bethel Boutique for that. And so it quickly became evident that that wasn't going to work as a homeless shelter. So they discontinued that, and then, of course, filled those rooms with used clothing for the thrift store. So it's been devoted to clothing and household goods and kitchenware and things like that ever since. So, and we just celebrated, like I said, our 25th anniversary this summer. We had a little bit of a remodel, moved some things around, and I think people who've gone there this past fall have noticed that it's a little different than it was.
Yeah, well, pretty significant remodel, really, or it feels like kind of a different place when you walk in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We took out another bathroom and some other things that were really unnecessary. And
well, one of the things that's very impressive about Bethel Boutique as a thrift store is the organization and cleanliness. Everything is always clean and organized, and you know, you talked about sorting through the stuff, and you know, everything has to be sorted out, and clearly somebody's making sure things work. And I always get a kick out of even like the CD cases or something, checking to see that there's something in there, and you know, it's really, really well organized and kept nice.
Yeah, I think we've all been in thrift stores where you have a pile of records that are covered with mold or, you know, things like that, that you just kind of shake your head and go, well, I'm not going to buy that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just kind of wasted space then.
Yeah. Well, and I hope people respect that as far as dropping off their donations. You know, you said that there is certainly a certain amount even that you have to throw away.
Yeah.
I see there's a dumpster on site. That's probably what you got to do, right? Mm-hmm. Just start sorting things out and throwing it away.
Yep. Yep, and people will dumpster dive. You know, we have a sign that says, please, no dumpster diving, because whatever's in there is there for a reason, you know.
Well, it's interesting to think about the amount of surplus that we have as a society, and probably that's a whole topic for a whole nother show, but it's kind of amazing how much stuff actually people go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... I would like to do... I've seen some things on TV about surplus clothing. Even in... It was something on TV not too long ago about surplus clothing in Africa. And the wastage that is still going on is just tremendous. You know, it's only a percentage that actually gets recycled and reused.
Mm-hmm. Most of it gets thrown away or discarded somewhere along the line.
Yep. And it's become a problem.
I kind of feel the same way about books.
Yeah.
You know, we see the same thing where, you know, people are throwing away books. But, you know, of course, as you know me, Pete knows me a little bit enough to know that, and I know Pete enough to know that we both treasure books.
Yeah. Don't want to throw them away.
No, I hate to see those whole dump truckloads or dumps of books.
But it's true, the books are a problem now too, because I used to periodically go through my books. You know, pastors we're all bookaholics. You know, we have lots of books, and I would go periodically through them and sort out things that I hadn't used in a long time, and I would take them down to seminary. And usually, seminary was thrilled to get them. Their students were thrilled to get them. Seminary now won't take them anymore.
Oh,
I did find a place that would take theological books that they send to seminaries in around the world, in other countries. And so I shipped a number of them over. But there's a limit to what they will take, too.
Sure.
And so it's kind of strange to see. It's a different world right now, that when you can't find homes for a book, you know.
Well, and that's probably, speaking a little bit of the world to come as we move into this age of technology and those advances keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not used to reading a book on a Kindle. I still want to hold it in my hands.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, I do always enjoy, it's one of my fun things about thrift stores, and I'm a bit of a treasure hunter, I guess, but, you know, never know what you're going to find there. And
I used to love going into old, used hole-in-the-wall bookstores that are here. Mm-hmm. I still do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do, too. Find what treasures we find.
Yeah.
So, you know, can you speak to, well, where should we go next? Like, you know, I guess I'm one stunned by your team of volunteers. Mm-hmm. You must have a really amazing team of volunteers, those women that I see there.
Yeah. And we've had lots of volunteers who worked for 20, 25 years and have, you know, decided to move on, that they can't just continue forever, you know. And so we do continue to need people to come and volunteer. We're always happy to welcome anybody who would like to come and work at boutique. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be, it's usually a fun place to work, I have to say. You know, I've really enjoyed the time that I've spent there.
Well, it seems like that community environment kind of carries over there. It feels welcoming, and the mm-hmm. women that work there are, or whoever's working, is always very kind and helpful and really supportive that way. So,
yeah, I could just tell you a little bit about what we've done in the last couple of years. I don't know if people are aware of the kind of numbers that we're looking at.
I think that's important to look at, Pete, because I think it's amazing, really, again, when we think about how we support a community kind of by recycling our surplus.
Yeah.
It's really amazing to think what you can do. So, yeah,
Yeah, so rental assistance last year, we gave away $63,467.
Whoa. I would never have imagined that it was that high.
Yeah. And that was 45% of our total. So utilities was another $48,000.
And that's people needing help with a heating bill or an electric bill or something like that?
Right.
And how much did you say?
$48,592. Yeah. And then the various other categories, which would be like healthcare or, for instance, car repair, things like that. That's another $27,000. So it's added up over the years. I mean, we went over $100,000 it looks like at least 10 years ago.
Wow.
And that, of course, includes money that was spent on the food pantry. We do buy food through Second Harvest. We give some of our donation to Hunger Task Force as well. We get food from them in La Crosse, Hunger Task Force in La Crosse.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Because it seems like I remember even like in at the boutique, there's a sign that talks about your donation can buy this much food or something?
Right. And I'm not sure how much it is right now, but the Second Harvest, I know in the past you could get whatever you needed. 8 cents a pound was what they charged you. So it's dollars go a long way when you have to purchase food, because we purchase it through Second Harvest in
mm-hmm.
Madison,
mm-hmm.
which supplies a lot of the food pantries in southern Wisconsin. And their, of course, food that they get is mostly donated as well. But they have a bigger network of larger donations.
Well, and it just feels like such a great thing that people invest the time and energy into even making this kind of thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know, can't be easy. I mean, I don't know, even rounding up all the food and then even creating these networks to disperse it so that it can be received in a timely manner and distributed mm-hmm. in a timely manner.
Yeah. So we get donations from Quick Trip. We have people that pick that up. We get donations from Walmart. One of our guys picks that up every week. Aldi's just opened in Viroqua. We've already made arrangements with them, and we pick up them. Viroqua Food Pantry picks them up on Monday, and Westby on Thursday. So we do get a lot of donations in that way as well.
I'm appreciating the fact that that adds, for me anyway, another sense of the community support for this community program.
Dollar Store in Westby also. Yeah, it's everybody's very supportive of the food pantries, I think. The food pantries, I think, for the most part, they sprung up in the early 80s. We had that terrible farm crisis, you know, in 81, 82, and a lot of farmers were really struggling, and so I think that's when a lot of the food pantries started up. Pastor Gary came to Westby in 1987, I think it was, and so that's when theirs started there. But the food pantries just, they've never gone away. You know, they've just grown and grown and grown. Viroqua used
that's
to have...
That's like almost 40 years, right?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, the VROC, we used to have one in Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and one in Living Faith, and Cooley Cap also had a small one. Over the years, the three of them finally merged together, and so the whole community does support the Living Faith food pantry there. All the churches support them, and I have to say, you know, it's in Westby at Bethel Boutique, all of the churches of our area have supported it for many, many years. So we get lots of great support from the churches.
That's really good. It just really, again, reaffirms this whole sense of community for me, and I'm grateful. We're going to take a minute here and do just a little bit of a station break. Really grateful, all you listeners that are tuned in to WDRT. This is Conversations, and my name is Kayleen Welsh. Conversations airs every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. with a group of rotating hosts, so feel free to tune in, or you can find us in the archives afterwards, or, of course, stream. Streaming is a thing these days, right? So you can stream it always on WDRT.org. or find the show in the archives. And today we're here talking about Bethel Boutique. And I'm speaking with Pete Beckstrand, who's on the board and involved with this Bethel Boutique, which is a thrift store, food bank, food pantry, and very supportive to people in the community. And as we're talking about, you know, getting rid of surplus and what we can do with our excess, this is one way that we can recycle and reuse our things and send them off to be redistributed in a new and helpful way. So Pete, thanks again for coming in. And let's see, we were just talking about the history a bit of the food banks, you know, how they started, you know, and have now been around for 40 years. And I guess, is this just something that we accept as part of our culture these days, is the need for support?
Originally, a lot of us started in, I would track the history back to the Lutheran churches in the neighborhood started a hunger committee in 1979. And their idea was, yes, people, they knew stories of their relatives and friends, of course, that fell short on some occasion and needed just a little help. And at that time, you know, they applied for a grant from, at that time, the American Lutheran Church Hunger Appeal. They got a grant of a couple thousand dollars, and they set up a local emergency aid fund. And at that time, you'd give people maybe $100. Or I administered that fund for a few years, and on behalf of that committee, which was all the Lutheran churches in the area. And, you know, we would give out, in those days, we gave out a lot of gas cards, like $25 gas cards for people that just needed the transportation to get to the hospital or whatever, you know. And so we, at our peak in that group, we gave away $8,000 in 2009. You remember we had that economic downturn in 2009. At the same time, Bethel Boutiques, you know, all the churches, a lot of the churches had a fund, a Good Samaritan fund, you could call it, where they would help people that periodically came to them for help. And that's how Bethel Boutiques ministry grew too, because other churches decided, let's just combine here, because Pastor Gary had organized it in such a way, you know, he had an application process. He set up this mission committee for Monday mornings that we would meet and talk about and work through what we would pay for, what we would help, and what we wouldn't. And so that just kind of grew from there. And eventually, in 2011, our hunger committee, we did funding through the farmer's market. We rented a booth in the farmer's market in the summer, and churches would bring produce, homegrown produce, or baked goods. We sold thousands of donuts over the years, and raised the money that way, and it was a lot of fun too, being at the farmers market every week. But we decided to throw in with Bethel Boutique at that point in 2011, just because they had grown so much that our fund just seemed like a redundancy, kind of on the sideline. So we went together with them at that time, and Pastor Gary had been after me. He said to try and get me on this committee for a few years, and so I finally said, yeah, let's do it. And so that started in 2011. So I've been on that committee since 2011.
Mm-hmm. You've probably seen tons of requests then, Pete. I mean, clearly the numbers are rising all the time and the requests for support are increasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are ups and downs. The biggest year, of course, was 2018 with the flood. We had a whole different set of needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pastor Deans came up with the idea of, let's give people a $2,000 grant if they apply, having been flooded out. And that went very fast because, you know, people lost major appliances, you know, your furnace, your refrigerator, or whatever. And so we gave away that year $170,000 in those flood grants. And there were other sources of assistance at that time too, which was good. But that was a significant year, and I'm not even sure where all that money came from, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But we got lots of significant donations because people had heard about the flood, you know, and gave. So that's the biggest year we've had.
It's interesting also to think about the idea of having to kind of adjust depending on what the needs of the community are.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I can see where, you know, a flood like that, it is a different set of needs than people needing food. And, I mean, it's a whole different thing. So, and, you know, it sounds like that is one of the bigger missions. And maybe there is a mission statement, probably is for Bethel Boutique, but, you know, seems something along the line of, like, just being there to support the community in whatever ways they can.
Yeah, mission statement. That would be good, wouldn't it?
After all these years.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, I think the mission's pretty clear, whether it's stated or not, that it's there for the community. And, yeah, no, it's amazing to me, these kinds of numbers. I really had no idea that you were, you know, distributing that kind of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
And to think that the thrift store even supports a lot of that. I mean, I heard you say, you know, there's donations, and that's really wonderful, people that contribute regularly. And I think, do you do some fundraising too, like the picnics in the park or something like that?
There are the
occasional.
Westby in the summer has Burgers in the Park.
Burgers
there
in the park.
Davidson Park. And they have usually, oftentimes, a music group. And the proceeds of that will go to various things. I think the Chamber of Commerce in Westby runs that. And, you know, 1 week will be Bethel Boutique, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They have Bethel Home Foundation is also connected to Bethel Boutique. Foundation director is on our mission committee, Courtney Havel. And so they do some fundraising things during the year as well. We've done Sitting Pretty Farm, you know, mm-hmm. does a wonderful job with their donation setup.
Yeah, pizza on Friday nights during
Friday
the
night
summertime.
Friday night pizzas, mm-hmm. yep. Very good pizza, too.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
And so we've done that. And, yeah, there are lots of different fundraising. And then, of course, like I said, the churches donate, so they have their own fundraising operations to do that.
I guess I want to appreciate that, too. I don't know. You know, I've Pete and I have had some conversations around churches and different things over the years, too, and I struggle sometimes with, you know, organized religion, and yet, because to me, so much of what their purpose should be, and of course, this is my humble opinion, is to be involved in the community. Mm-hmm. And so I just am really, again, pleased just to hear that, you know, this is this community effort and that the churches all participate, and everybody, it feels like a greater effort just to, I don't know, support our community.
Yeah.
I know this is a little bit off topic, but I went to the community dinner, really for the mm-hmm. first time. You know, it's held the fourth Monday of the month at, is it Good Shepherd?
Yes.
Here in Viroqua. And I guess I'd heard about it, but really, you know, wasn't even sure who it was for, whatever. But I just went last Monday night and heard there again that all the churches and different community organizations take turns, like, hosting the meal, even mm-hmm. as it's in the same church, Good Shepherd, every time.
Right.
But
right.
different community organizations. But it was such a great community event.
Yeah.
A lot of people, some good conversation. It was warm and friendly and welcoming. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like those senses of community are important
yeah.
for us all right now. We need to kind of helps anchor us and
yeah.
remember us.
Yeah.
We're in it together.
Yeah, Westby does a community dinner, too, every Tuesday.
Okay.
At Our Savior's Lutheran Church. So
good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so, I mean, you know, do you ever worry, like, as you're trying to meet this need, that you're going to run out of money?
Well, as long as you bring that up. Yes. The last 2 years, like you said, the requests have gone up, and we have fallen a little short by the thrift store proceeds or our donations together. So we have had to cut back a little bit in our assistance because of that. Also, I suppose, you know, we could say that part of it is also what we pay out of the food pantry as well. What we pay for groceries, that can cut into it as well. So in the past, we had worked our way up. Like I said, we started at $100. Went up to 200, went up to 300, then we went to 350, and a lot of times we would do that twice. We would allow a person two applications that much. This
year, in a year, two applications
in a year, yeah. And in a crunch, we've done more than that, you know, depending on the situation. But this year, we've had to cut back to 300. For our first application, and then we've made the second application 150,
mm-hmm.
Because we were just going through too much money. So so that's, you know, again, just kind of hoping that the donations can continue to keep pace and that our thrift.
I guess, is it worth exploring, but is that part then of just an ongoing growing trend? More and more people needing support in these ways? What's happening?
Yeah, I guess I don't really know. It forces us to sort through things a little more, too, and say, well, this is something we can't help with, and to limit it to particular applications, you know, depending on what people have on their application.
I would think that would be so hard because it just feels sometimes like, the, you know, looking around, there is a lot of need.
Yeah.
You know, the need can be great, and yeah, how do we meet that?
Yeah, yeah. Now, this time of year, especially, you know, if we're getting to the end of the calendar year and a person applies a third time, we're going to deny it, you know. And so that means they're certainly welcome to apply again first of the year. That's a new year, and they're starting over. So that's kind of what we end up doing this time of year. At the same time, December is our number one month for donations.
Mm.
I mean, that's when church groups a lot of times will disperse their funds at the end of the year. And so that's also our number one month for donations.
Which seems very appropriate for, again, you know, right after Christmas here, December 26th, but this mm-hmm. day of giving, this day of sharing surplus. And it is, you know, one of the 12 holy nights. It's, in my mind, again, meant to be a time period of sharing, of goodwill, of connection, you know, and I know Christmas Day was just yesterday, and for a lot of people that means Christmas is over. But I'm, you know, appreciating the idea of the 12 days of Christmas and that there's pieces that we can continue and building that whole sense of goodwill. In fact, as I was reading about Boxing Day, South Africa just declared it a day of goodwill in 1994. And
nice.
I like that idea. Yeah. You know, Christmas is such a complicated holiday in many ways because of certainly the religious support, or the, you know, that's the reason for the season. I guess, you know, there's a bigger story there, and yet certainly we all see the commercial part of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Black Friday, you know, all the crazy shopping and all the stuff that we think we need to have. But there again, I guess here we go. We just, people get their new stuff. They can bring their old stuff. And let's pass it around and keep giving and create some goodwill, good stuff for our community.
Yeah, yeah. And since you mentioned that, too, December is a busy month at Boutique because we have Operation Christmas there, where we have quilts that have been made by women of the churches. We give those away to people that come into the food pantry in Christmas time.
Is there kind of a special, like a room, or do you save stuff through the year?
Well, especially now, we've been building it up the last few weeks. It started today.
Okay.
We're taping this on the 2nd of December, so it's that's when we started here. And it's everybody anticipates it. They sign up for it ahead of time. There are gifts and gift certificates given to families and so on. So it becomes a very busy time.
Yeah, I've been out there then, and yeah, I can see, you know, there's just a lot going on, a lot of people coming in, and mm-hmm. And there again, I suppose the donations that come in at that time, like the cash money and things like that, just kind of like, I don't know, you got to budget that or figure that out for that year or next year.
Yeah.
But just a busy time overall, even for the ladies working at the store.
And, right, right.
Because people are scheduled, like families kind of get scheduled to come in then.
And, yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is it open? Is the thrift store remain open for regular people just to come in and shop during those days?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we're open 5 days a week. Tuesday is the one day when we're open later, I think till 6 o'clock. So
some days it closes at 2, I believe.
Yeah, other days of the week it closes at 2.
So 10 to 2, I think, probably?
10 to 2 most of the time. And then, like I said, we have that one Saturday, usually a month, that they're open just like Grandma's Attic and the Bloomingdale store and the other.
Good day to go thrift storing in Vernon County.
Country thrifting, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So are there things that's, you know, what sells the best?
Well, that was reflected in our remodel. They evidently said that women's clothing is our number one item, and so that is why that all got moved out to the front room now.
Mm-hmm.
So when you first walk in the door, women can look over the clothing because that's our number one seller.
And do you have any, you know, good stories of, like, you know, what's some goofy thing that's been donated, or, you know, strange things that have been dropped off? You got anything?
Well, I don't know because I'm not usually in the store for those moments. But we used to have a female mannequin in the corner. Her name is Elsa. And whenever you were in the building when it was closed, it was always a little spooky to run into Elsa. but I'm sure that some of the other volunteers could give you some crazy stories about things that, like your own experience that you had with the hula skirts.
Yeah, well, and I had another one time where I came back from a workshop. I had been learning basically about archangels, and so it was and been given a book on Archangel Raphael. And so one of the first things when I got home, it's what I do every once in a while, is go out to Bethel Boutique and see what's there. But it was a beautiful green stained glass Archangel Raphael right there waiting for me.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, the treasures that I found. So I feel like it is a magical place that I can find the things that I'm looking for. And it's like any other thrift store. You never really know what you're going to find.
Yeah. Right before deer hunting, I saw a couple people while I was there that came in and bought all the blaze orange hunting gear in the store. So
it all went out
in one fell swoop.
Good. Again, you know, good place for Halloween costumes and all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
So we'll talk more about the things that are available at Bethel Boutique after we just take a brief station break and let everyone know that you are listening to WDRT. This is the show Conversations, where we meet weekly and just, you know, have a conversation with somebody in the community about something they're doing or what they've got going on. And here today with me is Pete Beckstrand, and we're talking about Bethel Boutique. The thrift store, food pantry, community support program that operates out of Westby. So, Pete, thanks again for coming in. the stuff that's there, I guess any other thoughts on, like, has there been, I know you're not there to to go through the stuff as it comes in, but any other stories of, like, weird finds or anything like that you recall?
We have always had people that look over and try to evaluate anything that would be of antique value. We pretty much have not had antiques to offer, although some people consider some of those things to be valuable antique items, but generally, any antique items, we've sent them uptown to be sold on consignment at antique stores downtown. Mm-hmm. So, and we've actually, you know, that's been a certain level of income too.
Sure.
We've had people that, you know, brought purses that ended up had money in them, you know, and we had no way of finding that person back again.
Sure.
You know, unless they remembered who brought that in. So there have been things like that happen.
So, like, for now, as we look at expanding this idea of, you know, this is a program that really is here to serve the community. So how can the community serve you, you know, as in Bethel Boutique? What can we do to be supportive of this whole process?
Well, one of the things that works out very well is some of those Saturdays are just designated as donation days. So there's no price here. It's just donation. And then that goes directly into our emergency aid fund. So if people especially attend to those, that's very, very helpful, and people are very generous with that too. When they do that, if they go beyond the price that's on there, that's very helpful. Just maybe reminding some of the churches and so on that we do have this need that continues to grow, and just like churches need more to support their own ministries as well. That continues to be a situation for us too. So, donation of money or bringing materials down to boutique too, you know, helps.
Sounds like women's clothes is a good thing to bring by.
Yeah, yeah.
I would imagine, you know, children's clothes and you know anything clean.
Yeah.
Nice. We don't, you know, clearly don't probably want stained or ripped anything. Want things in decent condition.
Yeah.
I guess I'd like people to think about if it's something you would want to buy. I mean, what kind of condition would you like it in?
You know, it's interesting that we have this style these days, where you know, the jeans with big ripped holes in them are so popular. You know, that thing that I saw recently on TV about the used clothing business in Africa. Folks there, they don't want holes in their clothes. They want regular clothes that don't have a hole in them. So
fashion trends.
And they like bright colors. Mm-hmm. And that's probably true here as well. You know, they don't want black clothes or dark clothes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Although I'm sure there are people that like their black t-shirts and black shirts.
Gray, black, navy blue. There does seem to be a certain population that does like those colors.
Yeah,
well, and it just feels like there again, the community can support you by then bringing their things that are in good condition, mm-hmm. making donations, shopping on these Saturdays. Volunteering if they've got some time.
Volunteering, yeah, you bet. And we can always use people. Even if you got one day a week that you could do it, that would be great. We have 4-hour shifts that people can plug into, and we'd be happy to have folks come down.
Yeah, and it does always feel like a pleasant environment in there.
Yeah.
You know, the ladies are working and chatting, and mm-hmm. somebody's brought some donuts or something, or I don't know, it just feels like a friendly environment.
Right, right.
Clearly a nice place to volunteer.
We're like everybody else, so, you know, we have our stressful moments and, you know, that kind of thing. But, I think for the most part, it's very true. It's a pleasant environment.
I guess, you know, do you have any thoughts on this increase in need? Is that because people aren't supported in other areas? Is this just a reflection of, a more challenging economy? What is happening here?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But one thing we haven't talked about is the subject of homelessness. We average 2 or 3 homeless people a month. And they're looking for help usually in this kind of time of year, you know. I mean, you can't camp. So what we do is we get a few nights in a motel for them. And one of the criteria of our application process is that we need a bill of some kind. Sometimes we get applications that don't have a bill with them. They're just going to sit there until we get a bill. We try to communicate that to people. But, and the same thing is true with homeless folks. If they have to work out their own arrangements with a motel, so that way they're accountable for it, not us. But we will pay the bill for a few nights for them. And as, you know, one friend pointed out to me one day, he said, you know, you get 4 or 5 nights in a motel, at the end of that time, you're in the same situation, you know. So what we did before is give 2 nights. Well, a lot of times that isn't enough because we're trying to refer people to an organization like Coolie Cap.
Some of those places that take a little longer processing time.
Right, right. And then 2 days isn't going to be enough time to do that. So at least, you know, or even just applying for a job, you know, the jobs are supposedly everywhere. I mean, everybody's crying for help. You know, there's signs out everywhere, you know, but that takes a little time too. Mm-hmm. So, and then people sometimes will work out longer term situations with motels, so that, because housing is also a problem in this area. You know, when I first moved to Lafarge in 1975, I rented an old farmhouse for $60 a month. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was no water in the house, and it was heated with wood. You know, well, those places are pretty well gone now. They're not any of them around anymore. And so, you know, it's really nice to see that big apartment complex being built in Viroqua today. That'll help a lot. But housing continues to be a real crunch in this area. And, of course, its affordability is a crunch, too.
Yeah.
But
I had heard at one point that Vernon County was one of the poorer counties in Wisconsin. I don't know if that's still the case, but there are a lot of people here that clearly have a sense of need.
Yeah, it's always been at the bottom in the state of Wisconsin.
And so, you know, again, people, if they are wanting to receive services, of course, anybody can come shop at the thrift store. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if people want to come and, you know, either get food from the food bank or get support for some emergency kind of situation, there's an application that they would fill out.
Right. Yes. And we have a box outside. When we're not open, you can grab an application out of that outside box.
Awesome. And if people would come and say, oh, say they're coming to get, you know, some food, what would they anticipate receiving?
Well, you go through an area of the food pantry, and you have these things, items to choose from.
I see.
And so many per person or per family of certain size.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's different categories of food. You get to choose so many things.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that, I think Pastor Gary was the first person to introduce that idea of choice because, of course, in COVID, it was a little different. You got a prepackaged box, and it's set outside, and you just picked it up. So it was chosen for you. But for the most part, we give people choices because it's no good to send food home to people that they're not going to eat.
Well, I just am, you know, thinking about Pastor Gary Danes and what he began here and what you and his other crew of people have continued over the years. But you know, you never imagined that it would be reaching these kinds of numbers and this kind of need.
Right. Yep. It's very true. Pastor Gary always used to say, it works.
Yeah.
You know, meaning the combination of donation and the thrift store.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, at the time that he passed away a few years ago, I said it's going to take 6 or 8 people to replace him. And that's, I think, exactly how it's been. You know, it's I've been on mission trips around the country with my own church groups, Nashville and West Virginia and some other places. And places like Bethel Boutique are all over the country doing incredible ministry through these kind of various food pantries and food banks and thrift stores and all kinds of really interesting work. And they always come back to a real visionary person that drove the whole thing.
Somebody had to get it started.
Right, right. And
believe in the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tricky to do sometimes, you know. Some of these tasks are, you know, we can see a need, but then trying to figure out how to fill it can feel pretty darn daunting.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been interesting the last few years, like I said, after his passing, to continue the operation in do it in such a way that, you know, we're it's kind of run like a co-op, very much so, and it takes a lot of people to working together to try to work that out.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like, you know, the churches, there's a lot of volunteer workers at Bethel Boutique. There's, you know, you people on the board and the people that you had, the 6 that were required to replace Pastor Danes, you know. So there are a lot of people out there. And I like the idea of thinking that this is a community project. And so I think even with this, you know, episode or this radio show, encouraging people to think about what is their surplus. You know, what do they have extra of, whether it's stuff or whether it's time or whether it's just a little cash, or what can they do to participate or to contribute to this worthy project for, you know, the betterment of the community. We all have surplus. We all have extra. Mm-hmm. We're very privileged and very lucky to be where we are. And as much as we struggle sometimes, it seems like we all have at least a little bit left of extra here or there somewhere that we can share.
Yep. And a lot of times people that have received aid from us come back in with something to donate to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice too. Kind of pass things around and keep the circle moving.
Keep the gift moving.
Keep the gift moving. Yeah, that's a great idea. There was just, I don't even remember now, there was something that I just read about that passing that gift around potluck, wasn't it? Wasn't that kind of the idea of the whole idea of potluck is that you take something and it nourishes and passes on.
Yep.
Well, that's
gift moving.
Really good. So is there other things that you can think about that you would say that the community can do, or, you know, how can we support Bethel Boutique?
Well, beyond what we've talked about, I know.
Yeah, pretty much got it. Time, money, resources, your extra stuff.
Yeah, and volunteers.
Volunteers.
Encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
And
shopping there. Come there and shop.
Yeah,
Never know what you're going to find.
Right.
Awesome. Well, I guess, the one other thing we should say, though, is there is a website or a Facebook page or where people can check hours or if they want to.
Yeah, if you go on Bethel Home and Services website, they have a boutique tab, and you can actually fill out an application online.
Oh, that's helpful too.
And send in an application online. You could do a screenshot of your bill or whatever, and people do all this stuff. We've really just gotten a little more high tech in the last 5 years, you know, between applications via email and
our rapidly changing world.
Yeah. I didn't even know what a screenshot was until last year.
Welcome to the technological age. So, and I know there is a Facebook page too that is Bethel Boutique.
Yeah.
And we should just say boutique is spelled, is it the Norwegian
spelling?
It's
the Norwegian spelling, and the Norwegian word for store is boutique, but it's obviously not the French spelling.
Okay.
It's the Norwegian spelling.
Which is B-U-T-I-K-K?
Correct.
Bethel Boutique.
Yep.
All right. Yep. Well, we learned a bit about Bethel Boutique and this wonderful organization for the community. Thanks for coming in, Pete. Any closing thoughts?
No, but thanks a lot for doing this.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Good. Thank you very much.